Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter number 13, please. Years ago, I was asked to preach at a meeting at Antioch Baptist Church in Bristol. And I'd been trying to work on memorizing John chapter 3. That's 36 verses. And I worked and I worked and I worked. And finally, when you get close, my wife was checking me. You don't want her to stop you in the middle. You just want to go and then let her remember where the mistake was and come back and tell you. Because if you start interrupting, you know what I mean? It's just harder to learn it. But my wife will tell you, I never did get it just right, brother. And they asked me to preach that morning. And the Spirit of God said, you're going to quote that chapter. And I had never done it. There was 70 or 80 preachers besides the others in attendance. And God let me quote it the first time right. I said, if I had cowbells on my knees, every cow in the county would have come to church that morning. Amen. And so I want to try to quote this chapter and preach from it what God has put on my heart. And if I get stuck, Brother Chris, I'll go like this if I need you, okay? Because in other words, there might be a hesitation, but I might get it without your help, okay? I'm going to try to anyway. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and though I have and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Wait just a minute. The first word, Brother Chris. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Pray with me, would you? Father, thank you this morning for my people. Lord, I thank you for those that are here, and I thank you, Lord, for those that for various reasons, Lord, not able to be here today. God, I pray today that you would speak to us, our Father, through your word. Help us today, our Father. Lord, I've been feeling like for some time now in my spirit, and Lord, others have told me the same thing, that we could be, Lord, on the precipice of revival. Lord, I know that, Lord, you are sovereign. God, if it could be in your will, pour out a real special Spirit in this place. Lord, I pray that revival could come and we could see our own hearts stirred and revived. We could see others come to know You in the free pardon of sin. And Lord, that we could see the people of God grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, just any day now, our Lord is coming. Would You help us, our Father, to be found faithful? Help us to be about our Father's business. Lord, I pray that You would forgive us, God, our sin, our shortcomings, our faults, our failures. Lord, there are many. Lord, Your grace is sufficient. And I pray, dear Father, today that You would help us now to be a blessing to this people that have gathered in this place. God will give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. We're going to look today at this chapter and with the help of the Lord. And normally it is maybe Thursday or Friday evening, sometimes even Saturday evening, before I get settled on what I'm going to be preaching. But I've been settled all week on what I'll be preaching today. I've meditated, I've thought, I've studied, and I want to share with you some of the things that my Lord has shared with me. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, you would not be doing the chapter an injustice to replace the word charity with the word love. And when I began to think about that this week, I thought about a little boy that was my son's best friend in Wise. And he was riding down the road with his mom and dad one day, and an advertisement came on the radio, and they said that all the proceeds are going to go to charity. And he looked at his mom and dad. He knew my son and he knew his sister Charity. He said, "Charity's going to be rich." Amen. All the proceeds are going to go to charity. That's not what the Bible's talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when it uses the word charity. The Bible identifies, and I know that if you've studied the Bible for any amount of time, you're probably aware of this, but for the sake of some who may not know, and for the sake of review, the Bible identifies four primary types of love. Agape is unconditional. Phileo, that's brotherly love. Storge means it's like a familial or a family love. And then eros, or romantic love. Each reflecting different aspects of human and divine relationship. And the first part here is I give you these definitions. I'm just reading. I can't remember all this, but I'm wanting to give it to you for the sake of information. And throughout the message, you will understand the importance of love. Agape is the highest form of love in Scripture. It represents selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love. It is the love that God demonstrates towards humanity and calls believers to emulate in their relationship with others. Agape seeks the well-being of others, even at personal cost, and is enduring and steadfast. The key example would be John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Another scripture that comes to my mind, "But God commendeth." And that word there is not commandeth, but commendeth. It means demonstrated. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, He's not waiting on anything. He's not waiting on you to do anything to love you. He will never love you more than He loves you right now. That blew my mind at 27 years old. Sitting there in the mess I was sitting there in, the Holy Spirit convinced me that my Lord loved me. Amen. And I came to Him in repentance. And then that filio, that brotherly love, that's where really you get that city, Philadelphia, from, the city of brotherly love. It refers to an affectionate, warm, and tender love between friends or companions. It's characterized by mutual trust, a camaraderie, and it shares values or experiences. This type of love fosters community and unity, particularly among believers. Romans 12:10 encourages Christians to be devoted to one another with brotherly love, highlighting the importance of filial and nurturing relationships and actually preferring your brother before yourself. And then there's that storge of that family love. Storge is that natural affection and loyalty found within families. I thank God for my family. I do. Tyler, you reflect that to this pastor, that you love your family. And now God has put you in an even bigger family. I love the family that God has put me in when I was born into the Vinoy family. But I love the family that God put me in when I was born into the family of God. Amen. And then that eros, and that's that romantic or passionate love. And that can be a love that's out of order and out of place. But in the Bible, inside of marriage, that's exactly what God intended for it to be. It represents a romantic, a passionate love, encompassing desire, attraction, and intimacy between partners, particularly in marriage. It includes physical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions of love. While eros is not frequently mentioned in the New Testament, it is recognized as a legitimate form of love within the scope and the bonds of marriage. Amen. Marriage is honorable and all. That's what the Word of God said. And the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That's what the Bible said. That's strong language, I know. But we're living in a generation where shacking up is common. Having two or three babies before you even get married is common. Because something is common does not make it right. That does not mean that we judge another or we put them down. But it does mean that we should stand where God stands. Amen? And we should seek the blessing of God on the relationship that God seeks those blessings upon. I'm going to give you three simple things in the message today. Number one, this chapter is talking about the love of God. If I were going to title the message, that's what I would title it, the love of God. In the first three verses here, we find that the love of God is essential. It's essential. In other words, when he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm as sounding brass. I put that A in there for years and it ain't there. As sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's essential. I thought about when I was preparing to preach, you can make cornbread without a lot of things, but you can't make cornbread without meal. You've got to have cornmeal. It's an essential ingredient. Amen. And in the Christian life, the love of God, that's what Paul is saying. I want you to remember who Paul is talking to. He's talking to the church at Corinth. Brother Brian, they're carnal. And there's division. And they're saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas. And there's all this mess going on. And Paul is coming back and saying, hey, here's what'll cure it. The love of God. Here's what's essential. There's a lot of things that are not essential. Amen? But there's one thing that's essential. To having a good Christian life, to having a good Christian home, to having a good church, it's the love of God. Amen? And let me just say this, to having a good country. Beloved, listen, we were speaking a little bit this morning. You say, well, if this country over here could just have a democracy, if they could just be freedom, if they could just be free. Listen, America is not what American is. America is just because we're free. America is what America is because God has blessed America. Because we set out in the beginning to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. And so I see here that the love of God is absolutely essential. You remember Paul And this is not in my notes, but I'm just going over and trying to mind the Lord. You remember Paul said, I didn't come to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration. Paul knew that if he just got up to impress people, Brother Chris, and they were impressed with his vocabulary, and they were impressed with the depth of his knowledge, that wasn't going to get anything done. He said, I might as well be a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Amen. He knew that it was love, that he was going to have to love these people to Jesus. He was going to have to tell these people the truth. He was going to have to speak the truth in love. Amen. A lot of people will say, well, that man of God gets up there, mounts that pulpit and preaches on hell. He don't love me. I'm going to tell you something right now. There were times when I didn't believe my daddy loved me. Somebody say amen. When them straps was coming across the back of my legs, I didn't understand that. Brother Mays Jackson said one time, he said, when my daddy was whooping me, he said, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. I remember Brother Mays saying, I thought, my goodness, somebody's got their signals mixed up. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Paul loved the church at Corinth. He loved them. And he proclaimed the truth to them. And he said, hey, listen to me. One thing is essential. You've got to have it. If you don't have love, then the rest of it, it's just a bunch of words. You might as well just be beaten on a cymbal. Amen. And then you go into the next verse, and he said, though I have the gift of prophecy. And by the way, Brother Vince has been doing a great job in Sunday school, but these are sign gifts. And this is going on in this chapter. Amen. The Jews required a sign. But if you'll read the book of Acts, when God turns to the Gentile, he came to the Jew first and then also the Greek. He came unto his own. His own received him not, but to as many as received him. Then he tore down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, and he made one church. Amen. And the sign gifts, they go away. Why? Because that which is perfect is coming. The precious word of God. No longer is God impressed with a sign. He's impressed with a saint of God that'll believe the Bible that God has given us. Amen. That's what God loves. That's why he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul said, I could have the gift of prophecy, I could understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith so that I could remove mountains. He said, but if I have not love, the love of God, if I have not charity, he said, I am nothing. I love how Paul puts himself in here. Amen. He's not berating and browbeating the people in front of him. He's saying, let me just tell y'all something. I can have all of this, but if I don't have God's love in my heart, I'm failing. The Bible said then, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. That would impress a lot of people, wouldn't it? You remember in the early church, beloved, they were selling their properties, amen. And now, listen to me. I want to tell you something about that early church. They were looking for Jesus to come today. The way they were looking at the house and a car, well, I don't guess a car, maybe a horse or a donkey or something like that. They were looking at, hey, if he comes today, I ain't going to need this tomorrow. Amen. So let's just put it all in one pot. Amen. Whoever needs something, let's give it to them. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we were really looking for him to come today, Brother David, everything we have wouldn't mean much at all, would it? Amen. Because you know where it's going to be? Left behind. For what? The fire. Amen. Hey, this place is going to get so hot. The Bible said the mountains are going to fall down and the rocks are going to melt with fervent heat. My house is brick, but it won't save it from the fire. Amen. Listen, you go in a house fire nowadays, I hope my home never catches on fire. I'm talking about before that day of judgment. Amen. But listen to me. You go there, you know what you'll find if you got a brick house? A shell. Them brick are still standing there. Am I right or am I wrong? The roof's gone. Everything on the inside's gutted out of it. Them brick are still standing there. Go look at a house, an old-timey house, where they had a chimney on the end of it. And all them rock, amen? That whole house is burnt to the ground. But that rock's still standing there. God says it's going to get so hot that the rocks are going to melt. I don't know how hot that is, but I know it's hot. I've never seen a brick house melt the brick. A fire melt the brick. I've never seen that chimney melted by a fire. But God said it's going to get so hot one day. It's exactly the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's what the Word of God said, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And Paul said, I could give all my goods to feed the poor. I could give my body to be burned. And in this day and time, you understand what I mean? There were people being persecuted. But Paul said, if I don't have charity, if I don't have the love of God, he said, it profiteth me nothing. I'm telling you, the love of God is essential. Jesus said unto him in Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen to this. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. God took it all and hung them on two things. Love God and love your neighbor. Amen. He hung it all. The Bible said over in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. You say, Pastor, that's strong. I'm just reading you the Bible. For God is love. That's where my gun was cocked, brother. Brother Vince said, God is, and he was looking for a spirit, and that's right. And it come out of me, amen. I'm sorry, brother, but God is love. God is a spirit, and God is love. No wonder when he comes in. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Amen? Think about that. The Bible said if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. Strong language. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? By this we know that we love the children of God. God just takes this thing and keeps flipping it back and forth. How you know you love God? Because you love his people. Ain't that right? He just flips it back and forth, back and forth. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God. How you know you love God? You keep his commandments. You say, well, that sounds legalistic, not to the spiritual mind. Amen. Somebody ran up to a preacher one time and said, I just can't keep all those commandments. And the preacher looked at that individual and said, tell me, just exactly which one are you having trouble with? We're not saved by keeping the commandments. But I tell you what we can do. We can quit lying when we love God. We can quit stealing when we love God. Amen. We can love God when we love God. Somebody help me. Amen. We can remember, listen, to take a day and rest and worship God when we love God. Say amen. The love of God is essential. I've told this story before, but some of you ain't heard it, so here it goes. Years ago, Miss Eve got mad at me. Y'all cannot imagine that, I know. And I'm telling you, she said, I'm going to Mama's. Now, there's a problem when Mama is 435 miles up a road. Brother Vince, I wasn't interested. Amen. And so I thought, well, there's nothing to this. And I kind of peek in the bedroom door, and she's taking clothes out of the dresser. And she's throwing them in. She ain't putting them in a suitcase. There's a difference between putting something in a suitcase and throwing it in a suitcase. Amen. You can see the spirit of things sometimes if you just watch the action. Amen. And I said, whoa, boy, this is serious. And so my dad, being the man that he is, he taught me some things about automobiles years ago. And I learned that a car will not run without a coil wire. So while she's doing this, I went out and raised the hood on the car. That little coil wire, it wasn't that long. I wadded it up, put it in my pocket, shut the hood, went back to watching the football game. I don't know how long have we been married, Missy? 6 months? Maybe. Maybe. Amen. I'm telling you, listen to me. You don't have to believe me. She'll say amen. It's a grace of God our marriage made it. And it was not on her behalf. It was on mine. Amen. That woman has put up with a lot. She gets it packed. She puts it in the car. At that time I could hear, and I hear the car going, wee wee. And I mean, she came in and said, the car won't start. I said, it won't. And everything settled down. You know, the best part of fussing is making up. Everything settled down, amen. And she didn't go to Mama's. And the next morning, there was a miracle took place. She had to go to work. And that car started right up. She didn't know for years. Don't tell her now, amen. She's liable to get mad now. What I had done, amen. That car run without a whole lot of things. But there's one thing that's essential for that car to run. That's that coil wire. That coil wire is essential. And I'm telling you, if we're going to run for Christ, we have to have the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Secondly, not only is the love of God essential, but when you go on over in the chapter to verse number 4, the Bible said, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now let me tell you something about charity. Not only is charity, the love of God, essential, but the love of God is enabling. You say, Pastor, how in the world can you suffer long? How can you be kind? How can you envy not? How can you not get all puffed up? How can you not behave? You just have to have the love of God. It enables us. You remember in 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, they were allowing sin in the church. There was a man that was he was committing incest with his stepmother. And Paul told them they needed to deal with it. Well, they dealt with it and the man repented. Go over and read 2 Corinthians now. And Paul has to tell them, hey, when somebody repents, you forgive them. Amen? Lest they be swallowed up with much sorrow. And then Paul said this, to whom I forgave anything, in the person of Christ forgave I it. That's what this is talking about right here. It's the love of God that enables us to forgive, to suffer, to be kind, to be charitable. I go back to an example with my wife. I don't know how many times in our marriage she has told me, it's not what you said, but it's... Oh, you've heard that too, ain't you, Billy? Some of the rest of you guys are just chickens. There'll be plenty of chicken feed. Brother Junior, there'll be plenty of chicken feed. The chickens can hang around, amen, and eat the chicken feed after a while. Brother Junior told me, he hadn't been here long, people standing around after church, just fellowship, and he said, Pastor, the chickens will gather where the corn's been scattered. Amen. Today, it's the love of God that enables us. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. The Word of God said in 1 Peter chapter 4, 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Think about that. I read this and it was so to the point and so convicting that I thought I would read it to you this morning. It said charity will cover a multitude of sins. It will draw a veil over them as far as it can consistently with duty. It is not for blazing nor publishing the faults of a brother till duty manifestly demands it. Necessity only can extort this from the charitable mind. Though such a man be free to tell his brother his faults in private, he is very unwilling to expose him by making them public. Thus we do by our own faults. And thus charity would teach us to do by the faults of others, not publish them for their shame and reproach, but cover them from public notice as long as we can and be faithful to God and to others. When I read that, I thought of a song I heard years ago. One of the lines in the song said this: somebody doesn't know me well enough, my chest is vibrating, that I'm preaching right now. Amen. I don't get done at 12 o'clock. Amen. I hope it's spam. If it ain't, I'm going to choose somebody out. Amen. Listen to me. I believe with all of my heart, this song says it well. It said, go and tell Jesus on me when my faults and failures you see. If you are my brother, don't go tell another. Go and tell Jesus on me. I like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Speaking the truth in love. There's times when a parent has to say something that hurts that child at the time. But it's love. They love that child. Amen. That child cannot understand why they can't just get under the sink and play with all them bottles. They don't know there's poison in there. It can kill them. And so you either have to teach them not to get in there on their own, that's off limits, or you have to put some kind of a latch on the door. Somebody help me. Amen. So they can't get in there because there's things that will harm them. It's necessary not only speaking the truth and love with our children, but with our church, and also with our neighbor or with our community. I was preaching a funeral a year ago now, I guess. And I was put up there with a man's female pastor, quote unquote. And the man was not a man. His love was for another man. And I was asked to preach this man's funeral. And I didn't know about all this other mess till I got there. You say, what did you do? I'll tell you what I did, Brother Chris. I spoke the truth in love. I talked about the times when this man would come by my house and he would say, Brother Rick, what do you think about this? And sodomy was one of them that he brought up. What do you think about this? Because it was intertwined in the family. And I would say to that man, it really does not matter what I think, brother, or what you think. And I kindly took the word of God and told that crowd what God said. And this is what matters. Amen. It doesn't matter what you think or what I think. But I spoke the truth in love. You say, Pastor, did anybody get mad? Guess what? Every time the truth is spoken, it's likely that somebody will not like it. Amen. And we need to get used to that. Amen. In Jesus' day, the religious crowd hated him because he was a threat. Crowds followed him and thronged him. And they were losing their grip on the religious power. And praise God, today there's a bunch in Iran losing their grip on the religious power. The love of God is not only essential, but it's enabling. It is the love of God that enables us to do what we need to do. During World War II, Hitler commanded all the religious groups to unite so that he could control them. Among the brethren assemblies, half complied and half refused. Those who went along with the order had a much easier time. Those who did not faced harsh persecution. In almost every family of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration camp. When the war was over, feelings of bitterness ran deep between the groups, and there was much tension. Finally, they decided that the situation had to be healed. Leaders from each group met at a quiet retreat. For several days, each person spent time in prayer, examining his own heart in the light of Christ's commands. Then they came together. Francis Schaeffer, who told of the incident, asked a friend who was there, what did you do then? He said, we were just one. As they confessed their hostility and their bitterness to God and yielded to His control, the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among them. Love filled their hearts and dissolved their hatred. The Word of God said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It was the love of God that enabled Paul to love the church at Corinth, even though they were carnal, even though the more he loved them, the less he was loved. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." That sounds like a sacrificial love to me. You see, the love of the world, you love me and I love you. But the love of God said, I'm going to love you regardless. I'm going to love you regardless. Thank God, Miss Eve, that's what you did with me, honey. I don't know where we'd be, but I know where we wouldn't be. Amen. Caleb, you're getting all this, ain't you? If you ain't, I promise you she is. Not only is the love of God essential and the love of God enabling, but this is something that I think is awesome. The love of God is enduring. What do you mean by that? It'll work when nothing else will. What did the Bible say? It said charity. Well, it says here, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Beloved, charity never faileth. He begins to name things that are going to come to an end, the prophecies. You see, I am not a prophet. I am not a foreteller. I am a forth-teller. I tell forth the Word of God. God's men are called to preach the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. We don't get up and it just comes out of the air through the Spirit of God to us. We get in the Word of God and study the Word of God. And God gives us messages from the Word of God. And the Bible says it's enduring. What do you mean? He said, the knowledge, the tongues, that's all going to vanish away. But he said, charity never faileth. Sawyer's class, and I did not know this when I started Monday or Tuesday trying to rememorize this text. I did not know this. But when Sawyer's class got up, they did verse 8 through verse number 13. In their first presentation this year, they had already done the first 7 verses. I didn't know that. So Sawyer was a big help to me. He knows the whole chapter. And I went through it one time. Boy, I was so proud of myself. I got down to the last verse, and now by the faith, hope, and I was putting the word and in there. Miss Eve had to help me with that, and charity. That's the way we would say it, now by the faith, hope, and charity. But there's no and. And now by the faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Old Sawyer said, he's free! In other words, he knew instantly that I missed that phrase, these three. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. I'll read you something and we'll go. I took Helen, 8 years old, and Brandon, 5 years old. This sounds like a Morrison family. To the Cloverleaf Mall in Hattiesburg. I knew a missionary, if this is Hattiesburg, let's see, Mississippi. I don't know of another Hattiesburg, but anyway, I knew a missionary from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, to do a little shopping. As we drove up, we spotted a Peterbilt 18-wheeler parked with a big sign on it that said, Petting Zoo. The kids jumped up in a rush and asked, Daddy, Daddy, can we go, please? Can we go? Sure, I said, flipping them both a quarter before walking into Sears. They bolted away, and I felt free to take my time looking for a scroll saw. A petting zoo consists of portable fence erected in the mall with about 6 inches of sawdust and 100 little furry baby animals of all kinds. Kids pay their money and they stay in the enclosure enraptured with the squirmy little critters while their moms and dads shop. A few minutes later, I turned around and I saw Helen walking alongside behind me. And I was shocked to see that she preferred the hardware department to the petting zoo. Recognizing my error, I bent down and asked her what was wrong. She looked up at me with those giant brown eyes and said sadly, "Well, Daddy, it costs 50 cents. So I gave Brandon my quarter. Then she said the most beautiful thing I ever heard. She repeated the family motto. The family motto is love in action. She had given Brandon her quarter, and no one loves cuddly, furry creatures more than Helen. She had watched Sandy take his steak and said, love in action. She had watched both of us do and say, love in action. For years around the house and the King's Arrow Ranch, she had heard and seen love in action. And now she had incorporated it into her little lifestyle. It had become a part of her. What do you think I did? Well, he said, not what you might think. As soon as I finished my errands, I took Helen to the petting zoo. We stood by the fence and watched Brandon go crazy petting and feeding the animals. Helen stood with her hands and chin resting on the fence and just watched Brandon. I had 50 cents burning a hole in my pocket. I never offered it to Helen, and she never asked for it, because she knew the whole family motto is not love is action, but rather love is sacrificial action. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, benefits accrue to another's account. Love is for you, not for me. Love gives, it doesn't grab. Helen gave her quarter to Brandon and wanted to follow through with her lesson. She knew she had to taste the sacrifice. She wanted to experience the total of the family motto, love is sacrificial action. That story spoke to my heart. Love cost. It cost God His Son. It cost His Son His life. It'll cost you and I our pride. Amen? It sure will. And I believe with all of my heart, God has taught us today from this simple chapter in the Word of God that love is essential. It's love, God's love, that enables us to do the right thing. I remember teaching a bunch of inmates about forgiveness. Taught them a whole lesson, brother. It was an afternoon class in the prison. By the way, Matthew's going to be updating us tonight on what went on in Alabama. And I'm excited about that, Matthew. And I taught him about forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness, how that we're commanded to forgive. And when I got to the end of the lesson, I said, now fellas, let me just tell you this. I said, if you broke in my home and you violated one of my daughters or my wife, I said, I couldn't forgive you. You should have seen, Brother Brian, the look in their face. Like you spent an hour teaching us about forgiveness. And now you say you couldn't forgive me. And I taught them what Paul said. If there's any forgiving to be done, it's not this old carnal man. It's that new man that lives on the inside of us. And that's what Paul was saying. In the person of Christ forgave I it. Paul was saying, it's not me. I remember often having to tell the men, Brother Chris, you've been in prison preaching, and you know they will begin to make more of you. Brother John's been to prison. Brother Wayne used to go, and they'll make more of you than they ought to make. They will exalt you. And every once in a while, you've got to remind them. I would say things to them, Brother Vince, like this. If it weren't for Jesus, every one of you could go to hell as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't be 12 hours, 10 hours, 8 hours away from my family for 2 weeks if it weren't for Jesus. Let's give Jesus the glory. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Pray with me. Father, thank you today for this gathering. I pray today, Lord, that the message will help us. Help us in our homes. Help us in the house of God. Help us in the country. Lord, I pray for our president and the cabinet and the decisions that are needing to be made even in the days ahead. God, for your leadership. Protect our homeland. Lord, I look around and I see so much wickedness. I wonder sometimes how we've not already been slapped so hard. We've turned our back as a nation in many ways on the God that loved us and gave Himself for us. I pray this morning, Lord, for those that are here without Jesus, for those that are here, our Father, and they don't know what it means to have the love of God shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd help us all to yield, our Lord, to your leadership, to yield our Father to Him that loved us. Jesus, as you hung on that cross, being beaten, nails in your hands and feet, thorns in your head, spit running down your face, patches of your beard pulled out, stripped off and naked in shame, you cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Help us, our Father. The word, the Spirit cannot come from man. It must come from God. I pray, Lord, that the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts this day. I pray that that one that's here that's not saved would realize this day how much they're loved, and that they would, Lord, open their life and their heart to that love and receive you this Lord's day. In Jesus' name.